Rise up in splendor, Resurrection Parish. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord shines upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick clouds cover the peoples. But upon you the Lord shines, and over you appears his glory. Friends, this is what Epiphany is all about. This is what it means. Technically, the word means revelation. But us Christians see a deeper meaning. It's the Lord revealing himself to you as his glorious light cuts through the darkness of the world and in your heart so that you might come to know him and allow him to love you. And how marvelous it is that he chooses to do this and is always doing this. It's not just a one-time blip on the map. Oh, shucks, I missed it. That's my one opportunity. He's always revealing himself to us. Now that's a little from Isaiah, but this is the same king we also hear about in today's responsorial, who will govern the people with justice to all ends of the earth. Justice shall flower in his days, and profound peace till the moon be no more. He will rescue the poor and the afflicted. The lives of the poor he shall save. This, brothers and sisters, is how a true king rules, seeking to save his people and build them up, especially the lowly ones, which most rulers readily take advantage of for their own gain, all throughout human history, including right here in this moment, and yes, even in this United States of America. Now, who wouldn't want a king like this, a true king, a just king? All kings shall pay him homage, we heard. All nations shall serve him. But what is your response to Christ the King? Do you think, oh, well, that's pretty cool, you know, what he did. He came as a little baby, you know, look at him, he's so cute in the crib. And, well, then he grew up and he told a lot of good stories and he did some miracles and that's pretty great. Well, then he went to the cross for me and rose again. That's pretty cool. Thanks, Jesus. Or maybe you think, just kind of, meh, yeah, I've heard these stories, but what relevance does Jesus really have in my life? I still have problems and all these kind of things, and Jesus is supposed to be the Savior. Meh. Besides, there's much better entertainment out there, right? I mean, yeah, it's kind of good to go to Mass. I might get a warm fuzzy. I learn good things about Jesus, but there's much better entertainment out there. These are typical types of responses from people who don't really know the Lord, who don't have a relationship with him, that haven't experienced the depths of his love, who haven't been touched deeply by his love. And yes, sadly, this includes many of the baptized, whom he has claimed as his own. So they may know of him, may have learned some things about him, but do they really know him, the person? Not some kind of image or idea, but the person, Jesus. Do they really know the astonishing gift that he offers to them? In short, no. That's the answer, no. Because if they had any inkling of what he's doing, then as Isaiah says, back to Isaiah now, they would be radiant at what they see, and their hearts would throb and overflow. The Lord's presence among and within them would bring about deep joy, and their response would be deep gratitude. They would be thirsting for the Lord, not merely tolerating him, or even worse, rejecting him, and his light would vanquish their darkness. The two vastly different responses to the appearance of our King in today's gospel passage give further insight into these truths. Let's start first with the Magi, who followed the star of Bethlehem all the way to Bethlehem with great joy, courage, and determination. They are unafraid to go outside their comfort zones and seek something radically new and mysterious because they're open to the Lord. They have an openness to him. Now, note the enormous risk that these guys are taking. There's a physical risk. They're going from like Iraq and maybe even farther east into Persia. It's a pretty long march to go from there all the way to Bethlehem. You know, they didn't just jump on the next flight and, you know, arrive there in an hour or two or four, however far it would take to fly there. But this is a long journey. And they don't even really, they don't know where they're going. They're just following this star. These aren't Christians. These aren't even Jews. These are pagans. And there's robbers and everything else trying to take advantage of people going along this road. These roads, that whatever path they took. So there's a big physical risk. There's also a big financial risk. Sure, it wasn't cheap. You know, they got their camels loaded up. They would have had an entourage, people to help keep them safe. And they're of course, they're going to give this child wonderful gifts that don't come cheaply. So there's a big financial risk. Maybe they left businesses and whatnot at home. And they're going to be gone for 3 or 4 years. How's things going to be going when they get back, right? Maybe they're going to be broke. We don't really know. There's also a big cultural risk. So these guys just take off to go after this God of the Jews, this king of the Jews, from a pagan culture. Some people might have thought they were kind of crazy, right? What are you doing? Like all this financial risk and physical risk, you might get killed. Why not just stay here and live comfortably? Then when they come back, maybe they'll get rejected. When they come back on fire with love for the Lord, people might say, ooh, these people are too much, too much. We're going to stick with our pagan gods. So there's a lot of risk that these guys are taking, and they do all of this to offer a little baby the very best of what they have. They don't just come and throw a few trinkets and, you know, give each other a high five and be like, oh, that was pretty cool, huh? Yeah, let's go back. They prostrate themselves. These are men of great means. You have to have great means to go on this kind of a journey. They prostrate themselves in front of a little tiny baby. Well, he might have been a toddler by this time, because it might have been up to 2 years, but he's still a small little guy. It's beautiful. Herod, now, on the other hand, represents the opposite end of the spectrum. What is he so afraid of? Where's the fear come from? Christ represents no real threat to him. He only stands to gain from embracing the newborn king. But he is consumed with worldly things. He's completely blinded by sin and fear. He can't see reality. He's paranoid. This is the guy that killed a bunch of his family members because he was scared they might try to kill him and take the throne. 3 of his sons and I think a couple of his wives. And I mean, he literally killed a bunch of his family members. This guy's dominated by darkness and fear. And so instead of rejoicing and embracing the wonderful reality at hand, he sinks into cowardice and allows rage and misery to overtake him. So again, brothers and sisters, what is your response to the arrival of Christ the King in your life? Not just when he arrives on the manger scene, you know, each year, but in your life, in your heart. Does he scare you? Are you intimidated by him? Do you want to keep him at a distance, maybe? Maybe even kind of shape him into your own God, who likes everything you like, dislikes the things that you don't like. A convenient God. Or even worse, maybe just eliminate him, right? That Jesus, he's pretty pesky, you know, he wants me to do these things, he challenges me, I'm going to have to change my life. The heck with him. Do you see him as a competitor to your freedom and happiness? That's the way Herod saw him, wrongly. Or do you joyfully seek him out, following his light, wherever it may lead you, knowing that, yes, there will be challenges and struggles, but that the graces and victories will far outweigh the struggles? Are you willing to give him the best of you and the best of what you have? Like the Magi, right? They gave him everything. They gave him themselves and the best gifts that they had. To further kind of probe these questions, let's look at some practical examples in our world today. And we'll start out with one of the favorite one that everybody likes to hear about, abortion. 2,300 children on average are killed every single day in this United States of America in their mother's wombs. So what are you going to do about it? What am I going to do about it? We're just going to keep letting it go and say, oh yeah, it's necessary for women's liberation. It's women's health care, you know, whatever we want. Women's health care. Have you ever thought about that? What is health care? It's restoring something that is sick, restoring it to health. Abortion is not restoring health. It's terminating a life purposely, often brutally. It's unbelievable. It's just crazy, wildly unacceptable that even one person in this world thinks abortion is okay. It's not okay, brothers and sisters. There's some Christian pastors. There might even be some Catholic pastors that get up there and they twist Jesus. I guarantee you Jesus does not support abortion. I can guarantee you. No. It's totally unacceptable. What about euthanasia? That's becoming pretty popular these days. Even in the United States, more so in Canada and Europe, where the Europe, they little tiny kids, little kids like this, oh, you're kind of inconvenient, you have a sickness. What is this? I remember when I was in Oregon, it was a nationally known kind of a case where this young gal, she was maybe 30 years old, had cancer, and she chose to die. And it was like, you probably remember hearing about it. And I know also in Oregon and some other places, maybe even here in Montana, that if you have cancer and it costs too much to give you treatments, guess what they do? They won't give you the cancer treatments. They give you a pill. And then next thing you know, you're having a funeral. That's not what Jesus has in mind for us. What about sharing your time, talent, and treasure with the church and with the poor? Look at the Magi are good examples for us. They're not even Christians. They're not even believers in the Lord really yet. They're kind of searching for it. Look at what they're willing to do. Look at all the talent that we have in this room, and I only know a little bit of it. All kinds of different gifts that the Lord has given to you. Are you generous in sharing them with the Lord, with the poor, with the little ones out there? And your treasure, of course. Are you as generous as you could be with the Lord and with the poor? Here's another fun, another juicy one, contraception, which I think they say like 80 to 90% of Catholics actually believe that it's okay. And so over the past 50 to 60, maybe 70 years, there's been this misinformation that's out there. The church teaching is very clear. This is not how we're meant to live, brothers and sisters. Contraception is directly against who we're created to be. I know that's an inconvenient message, but that's the truth. The light shining into our darkness, the truth will set us free. Contraception is not good for us. What about immigration? There's kind of two sides of immigration. On one end, there's a lot of people out there that are coming. They're seeking asylum. They're running from terrible conditions in their countries, not just from Latin America. We have people coming from the Middle East and from places in Asia. They're coming from all over the place. And so we do have a moral obligation to help them to the extent that we can. Now, the other end of the spectrum, I think 2.5 million people have flooded across the border, our southern border, which is basically open. There's very little resistance. We can't handle that kind of immigration, you know? And you probably heard about all the drugs, the fentanyl, all these people that are dying from fentanyl overdoses, it's all pouring in. So there's drug trafficking, there's human trafficking that's flourishing at our border because we've gone to the other extreme with immigration. We've got to find a middle ground. So brothers and sisters, what are you going to do? That's the question about these. What are you going to do about immigration, euthanasia, contraception? What about politicians blatantly defying Jesus and his teachings? Blatantly. Like in your face, Jesus, in your face, church, Catholic church. They're almost daring the church to do something about it, right? Are we just going to continue to elect these people and say, oh, yeah, okay, just okay. Are they really representing our interests? In most cases, no. Washington, D.C. is an absolute joke show. Both sides, I'm talking about both sides of the aisle here. What about schools that are blatantly corrupting our children about the meaning of their lives, their bodies, etc.? Very unchristian things are going on in our schools. Yes, even in the schools here in Bozeman. I hear stories from teachers and from parents. What are you going to do about it? What am I going to do about it? We're just going to turn a blind eye? Oh, yeah, hope for the best. Or are we going to do something about it, brothers and sisters? Now, even if you aren't afraid to live the faith and confront the key issues, are you willing to listen to someone with a different perspective and to respect that person? Or will you just tune them out? Or even worse, cancel them? You know, delete them off your phone, off your social media, maybe disparage them in the public eye. And even if you're willing to listen, that's the first step, believe it or not. Are you willing to share the truth with charity? Sometimes we want to, almost like beat somebody over the head with it, right? Oh, you're going to go to hell if you don't do this. You know, I've read this in the catechism. Are you willing to share the truth with charity? Friends, we have to let Christ's light shine through us. It's the only way forward. into the darkness of this world. We have to let His light lead us. And there's nothing to fear. This beautiful, wonderful light, this truth, will set us free. He's already won the victory. We just have to claim it. There's nothing to fear. Don't let Satan convince you that this is too hard, that you aren't worthy, that you aren't equipped. Don't let the darkness win out. To steal a quote here from Curtis Martin at the C conference last week, God isn't concerned with your abilities. He's concerned with your availability to Him. He created you and me. He knows what we're made. He knows what we're capable of. But anything is possible with God if we're available to Him. He will work His will out in and through us. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord shines upon you. That's magnificent, brothers and sisters. We can't forget that. Such a stupendous gift. Will you then rise up in splendor? Follow your light and allow Him to transform you and the world through you? Or will you shrink down deeper into the darkness, fear and misery, and watch life pass you by? Each of us needs to answer that question. Brothers and sisters, please do choose well.